Pesachim Daf Mem Tes. We are starting with the Mishnah on top of the Amud. We're continuing with a discussion regarding Chametz and the destruction of Chametz as we are approaching Pesach here, as we are about to conclude the end of the third parak. Mishnah starts off, Arabasa Shecholos B'Shabbos, if the 14th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos, Mevarnas HaKol Milifnei HaShabbos Div Rav Meir. Shitas Rav Meir is that all Chametz must be destroyed before Shabbos, despite the fact that on that calendaric year, Friday will end up being the 13th day of Nisan, which is one day before we normally destroy the Chametz on Pesach, but because Erev Pesach falls out on the Shabbos, so for reasons that the Mishnah does not explain why, according to Rav Meir, it cannot be destroyed on Shabbos itself, and therefore it must be destroyed before Shabbos on Friday. V'chachamim omrim bizmano, Chachamim say that the Bi'ur Chametz is going to be done on its normal time, on Erev Pesach, despite the fact that it's Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Truma, Milifnei Shabbos, V'chulim is Manan. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok says it depends what kind of Chametz we're talking about. If it's Chametz Truma, so that's going to be destroyed before Shabbos, but if it's Chametz Chulin, that's going to be destroyed on Shabbos itself. There really is a lot to understand better in the Mishnah in terms of the various shitas of our Mishnah. Interesting that of all the things that are discussed, what is not being discussed is how exactly do you handle that particular Shabbos? How do you consume the Gimel Seudos of that Shabbos? Not discussed in the Mishnah, obviously. The Halacha deals with it, but it is not a discussion in the Mishnah. As far as the Shitas of Rav Meir is concerned, why can the Chametz not be destroyed on Shabbos itself? So it's not clear. There is a suggestion out there that maybe what's behind the Shitas of Rav Meir is that Rav Meir agrees with the Shitas of Rav Yehuda that Chametz can only be destroyed al yidei beer, only by starting a fire and burning in a fire, which obviously is going to be something which is prohibited on Shabbos. So that could possibly be behind Rav Meir. But again, as far as the Mishnah is concerned and the Gemara, as you can see, there's very little Gemara on this topic. So it is not discussed in the Mishnah. The Gemara, nor does Rashi and Tosos discuss it over here in our entire sugya. So obviously there is a lot to be explained and a lot of missing pieces to the Mishnah. I just quickly run through the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer. So this is now a brisa espousing the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. That's the third opinion of our Mishnah. Pam achas Shabbos Abba b'Yavne. So there was one time where my father spent Shabbos in Yavne, v'chal arbas alios b'Shabbos, and it came out calendarically that the 14th day of Nisan fell out on a Shabbos, u'bazunim mimunah shor ben Gamliel, and now the appointee of Rabbi Gamliel, Amar higia is levayr esachametz. So he said, good, now's the time to do the mitzvah b'yir chametz v'alachti achar abba b'yarnu esachametz. And we went together, me and my father, and we did the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Okay, Maisa Shaya is just telling a story that Bir Chametz was done on Shabbos itself. And ostensibly that's a riot for Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, who says that the Chametz can be burnt on Shabbos itself, at least the Chulin Chametz. Truth be told is that if you're the Chachamim, you're also fine with that Maisa. Right? In the Maisa itself, there's no distinction being made between Shumer versus Chulin. Anyway, but certainly the sense is that there is some chametz that's being destroyed on Shabbos itself, not through burning, but nevertheless in some other manner. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the Mishnah, really short Mishnah and really short discussion in the Gemara regarding the Mishnah in terms of when would be the proper time to destroy chametz as the 14th falls out on a Shabbos. We start with the next mission. Alech l'shchodes pischos. Somebody's on his way to Shechar and Pesach. V'lamol es beno, or doing the mitzvah of milah. V'lechol sudas erusin. V'veis chamav, or he's going to have sudas erusin in the house of his father-in-law. V'nizkar sheishto chametz besoch beso. And now at this point in time, he remembers that he has chametz in his house. And so now there obviously is a mitzvah to do the mitzvah of bir chametz, but he's not home. So what should he do? Im yachol Lachzor ulevar v'lachzor limitzvaso yachzor v'yivar. So if you have an opportunity to go back home in order to physically do the mitzvah of beer and to come back in order to perform the mitzvah, so that's great. V'imlav, however, if that simply is not an option, mivat lo belibo. So what you could do is bitul belibo. You could do bitul in your heart, meaning verbal nullification of the chametz. Lahatzil. Sorry, that's already up to the next part of the Mishnah. The What comes out now from the Mishnah is that in this first scenario in which there's a mitzvah opportunity, so despite the fact now that you have a mitzvah opportunity, on the other hand, you also have an obligation to go home and do the mitzvah b'yir chametz. So the mitzvah opportunity is going to take a significant role in terms of helping you make your decision of what you should do. And in this first case over here, if it's efshel l'kayim shem, if you could do both, that's great. And if not, so then you continue with your mitzvah. And as far as the chametz is concerned, you'll do bitul chametz. What the Mishnah over here says is mevatel belibo, but that just simply means verbal nullification of your chametz. And that way you have successfully disowned your chametz, and at the same time able to fulfill your mitzvah. The Mishnah continues now with another case scenario. The Mishnah gives five different scenarios, but they're all basically where somebody's life is in danger, and you're in a position where you can save that individual either from marauders or from drowning in a river or from robbers or from a fire or from a house coming in, caving in. So in all those cases, yivata belibo. So you do bitul b'lev. And seemingly the Mishnah's point over here is that you don't even have to make cheshbonos. Don't take into consideration, do I have time to go home and come back? Do I not have time to come home to come back? When somebody's life is in jeopardy, so at that point in time, so you just go ahead with the mitzvah. And as far as the chametz that you left home, that you haven't gotten rid of yet, so that you could do bitul b'lev. Last category of the Mishnah, v'lishbo shvitzas harishus. Let's say you want to extend your tchum, but not for a mitzvah reason, but you want to extend your tchum just simply because a social encounter or whatever voluntary reason you have. So under those circumstances, yachzor miyad. So being that right now the only reason why you want to extend your tchum is for a non-mitzvah purpose, so at that point in time now we're in a position where there's nothing really pulling you away from the mitzvah bir chametz. Bir chametz right now is the most important thing that you have to do at this point in time. There really is no counter pressure. And so therefore, yachzor miyad, you have to go back in order to do the mitzvah of bir chametz. V'chein. So ad kan, now that's the Mishnah. Really, the Mishnah has two categories. I call it three categories, but the Mishnah has two categories in that if there is a mitzvah bir chametz but counter pressured by you are currently right now being drawn by another mitzvah. So what do you do under those circumstances? So in the first category where a mitzvah is pulling you in the other direction, so if you can do both, that's great. And if you can't, so then you do the other mitzvah, which obviously is pressing. And then what you're going to do is you're going to go back in and you'll do the bir chametz. And if that's not available, you'll just be mevatel belibo. In the 1B, there's another mitzvah that is pulling you away, and that other mitzvah also involves atzalas nefasha. So yeah, you're saving somebody's life. Under those circumstances, no cheshbonos whatsoever. You'll just simply do bitul b'lev for your chametz. However, if there is no mitzvah that is pressing against you, and it's just simply something which is perfectly voluntary, let's say, for example, you're making tchum, but you're making tchum for a voluntary reason, so under those circumstances, so you do go back in order to destroy your chametz. Now, the way I presented the Mishnah, it's like Rashi. Tosos is a little bit bothered by the way Rashi presented it, specifically in the case of the tchum. Rashi makes it sound like that you can make a tchum, you can extend your tchum on for Shabbos or for Yontav, even though it's not for a mitzvah purpose. But if you remember back in Erevin, that was a point of controversy, and not everyone's in agreement with that. And so therefore, Tosos does give an alternative way to understand the Mishnah. You could see Tosos for that, but in the meantime, we're going to continue in the Mishnah. Similarly, meaning the Mishnah now is given a number of scenarios where you are being pulled in two directions. The mitzvah is pulling you in one direction, and the obligation to do bir chametz is pulling you in the other direction. Good. So that was the first half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah, v'chein. Mishi yatzam Yerushalayim v'nizker sheyesh biyado basar kodesh. Let's say you left Yerushalayim, and now you remember that you have basar kodesh. So you should have eaten all the karbanos, all the kashim that you had, but for whatever reason, you didn't eat them all, and absentmindedly, you actually took some basar kodesh outside of Yerushalayim. Im aver tzofim, if you went past the town of Tzofim, Rashi understands it to be a town, Tosus disagrees, but if you went past the town of Tzofim, sofer bimkomo, so then you can burn the basar kodesh where you're at. It's disqualified, it's pasul, and so therefore it needs to be burnt. So under these circumstances, you can burn it where you're at. However, v'im lav, but if you have not passed the town of Tzofim, so then chozer v'sorfos, and then you're going to go back into the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to burn it in that area lifnei habira. Now the Mishnah says you're going to burn it somewhere within the whereabouts of the bira. The bira is not perfectly clear exactly what that is. It's a harabais, an area within the harabais. Anyway, for our purposes, we're going to keep it simple. You go back to the Beis HaMikdash. And me'atzei maracha, and you have the allowance to use the atzei maracha in order to burn your disqualified kosh. V'ad kamehin chozrim. So now, in two different areas in halacha, so the idea of chazara, where you went out, but now something is pulling you back. In the first half of the Mishnah, we talked about where the chametz is pulling you back. You didn't do the mitzvah, but your chametz, and the chametz now is pulling you back in order to properly dispose of your chametz. In the second half of the Mishnah, the basar kodesh that you have, that you accidentally took out of Yerushalayim, it's pulling you back to Yerushalayim. So there has to be a significant amount in order to pull you back. So what is that significant amount? So the Mishnah has a major debate. Rabbi Meir Omer, Zebe Zebe Chabetza, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zebe Zebe Chazayis. So according to Rabbi Meir, the Shita is the volume of a Chabetza in both of these halachic contexts. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a shear of a Chazayis. And V'chacham Amor, in Basar Kodesh, Bechazayis, V'chametz, Bechabetza. And according to the Shita of the Chachamim, Basar Kodesh, the amount that's going to pull you back is going to be Chazayis. And for Chametz, the amount is going to be Chabetza. And all these positions are going to be explained in much greater detail in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, we're going to start with the Gemara's discussion. Viriminu. Now here, notably, there's going to be a difference between the Mishnah that we just learned together and the Brisa which the Gemara is about to quote. Ha'alech lechol sudas erosim beveis chamav v'lishbo shvisas harishos yachzer miyad. So here in the Brisa gives us two circumstances where it is a non mitzvah entity. One is Sudas Erizin. You plan on now having Sudas Erizin at your father-in-law's house, or you're going to be Shavish Shvisas Rishus. I'll say it like Rashi again, where you're looking to extend Chum, but not for a mitzvah purpose, just simply for a voluntary purpose, a social purpose. Under these two circumstances, these are non-mitzvah entities, and therefore Yachzer Miyad. So the Brisa over here says that you got to go back and you got to destroy your chametz. And you have no allowance whatsoever to continue on your path to do either of these activities. You have to go back and destroy the chametz. Now, the stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah is in the Sudas Erisin. Could have said this back in the Mishnah, but it's not too late. Let's say it right now. Just in terms of marriage, as we know, the institution of marriage happens in two stages. Stage number one is what's called Erisin. It also goes by the name of Kiddushin. And stage number two is the Nisuin. In the time of the Mishnah, time of the Gemara, so there was a lengthy gap that took place between these two stages. After a man is Mekadosh a woman, so the first Mishnah in Kiddushin talks about how to be Mekadosh a woman, Gimel Derachim, in three different ways. Anyway, after a man's Mekadosh a woman, so now they are married, they are husband and wife. However, after the first stage of marriage, he's not financially responsible to take care of her, nor do they live together as husband and wife. They're just simply husband and wife. But if he wants to terminate the marriage, he has to give her a get. If she is with another man, that would be considered eishes ish. So as far as halacha is concerned, so halacha regards them as husband and wife. It's just that they are not fully married for in terms of financial responsibility, in terms of tashmish. And then for the second stage of marriage, which goes by the name Nisuin, so with that will then come the full marriage that takes place between man and woman, where he's financially responsible to take care of her, and they are then have the mitzvah of Bia. With all that stated, so what we are talking about in the Mishnah and in the Brisa and the Gemara is Sudas Erisin. Ostensibly, what we're describing over here is after the man's Mekadosh the woman, so there's some sort of meal, right? It's a chasna, but again, it's the first stage of marriage, so. But whatever, it's a meal that celebrates the erusin that takes place between the man and the woman. And the Brisa describes that as a non-mitzvah event. Now, our Mishnah described it as a mitzvah event, and that's the steer, and that's what the Gemara is now going to try to resolve. I'm Rav Yochanan lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Yossi, d'tanya. So the Gemara now, Rav Yochanan brings it down as a machlokas tanaim. We learned in a brisa, sudas erusin rishus, never Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda. So having this sudas erusin is just a rishus. And Rav Yossi amar mitzvah. And Rav Yossi is of the position that it is in fact a mitzvah. So we have a machlokas tanaim as to what is the status of this kind of meal and this kind of event. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a rishus? That could be the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah subscribes to Shitas Rabbi Yossi, which is the mitzvah, and the Braisa that we just learned together is subscribed to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That is all but one way to say over the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara, however, does give us another way to say it, and that is Va'ashta. The Amar of Chisam Achlokis B'Seuda Shnia. The entire debate that exists is only with the second meal, Aval B'Seuda Rishona Divrei HaKol Mitzvah, but for the first meal, after Seudas Erusin, that is a mitzvah. So then Afilu L'Tema Hava Hav Rabbi Yehuda. We could say that both the Mishnah and the Brisa are going like Rabbi Yehuda Velokasha, Habesuda Rishona, Habesuda Shnia, and it's just now going to be a difference between whether or not it is the first or the second meal. Meaning the first meal that comes together with Erisin, so that the Gemara now is saying is a mitzvah, and that's not open for a discussion or a debate. And that's what our Mishnah is describing. However, there is a second meal, or it could be that the Gemara here is just simply describing a subsequent meal, but there's a second meal that happens afterwards, and that's not a mitzvah according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and under those circumstances, so that's what the Braisa is describing. So for that, if all you're doing is just the Seuda Shnia, so then it's considered a non-mitzvah event, and if you have chametz at home, which you weren't mevayer, so now you have to go back and you're going to do the mitzvah of beer. Okay, and obviously with apologies to your new father-in-law. For simply not attending the Seuda Shnia, the second meal. Admittedly, by the way, if you just want to look at the Gemara over here in the context of our discussion, it is a little bit strange to say the least that your Seuda Erusin is taking place when it's taking place in the Erev Pesach. It's a funny time to have a Seuda Erusin, and the menu over there is not going to be that extensive. But be that as it may, It's a funny time to have your Seudas Erusin. Back to the Gemara. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ani Lo Shamati Ela Seudas Erusin. So Rabbi Yehuda says that I heard regarding Seudas Erusin, meaning that first meal is going to be significant. That's going to be considered a mitzvah event. Aval Lo Sivlonos. But if it's Sivlonos, now Rashi describes Sivlonos as the gifts that are being sent. And presumably, but it's not totally clear in the Gemara over here, but presumably the Sivlonos also is in conjunction with the second meal, but whatever the case is, the point is that it's not the first meal. So here in the Braisa, if it's not the first meal, so it's not considered a mitzvah event. It's nice. It certainly will engender goodwill between you and your in-laws, but it's not considered a mitzvah event. Amala Rabbi Yossi, Anisha Mati Seudas Erusin v'Sivlonos, and Rabbi Yossi says that the Seudas Erusin and the Sivlonos both fall under the category of a mitzvah event. Okay, so the Gemara now cites this Braisa, which clearly presents a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that for the first meal, that Seudas Erusin, that for sure is going to be considered a mitzvah event. And if you're on your way to your Seuda Rishona, that means that you will not have to turn around, go back in order to do the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. If, however, if it's anything past that, if it's a second meal, so that is something which is a non-mitzvah event. And under those circumstances, you do need to go back in order to dispose of your chametz. The idea over here that your Seudas Erusin is a mitzvah event, as the Gemara just brought down, certainly would be supportive of the Rambam. Getting married, is that a mitzvah? So interestingly enough, it's a machlokas harishonim whether or not it's a mitzvah. Now, certainly, what is not open for discussion is that it is absolutely the correct thing to do. The question over here is just simply an analysis of whether or not the mitzvah of getting married in of itself is a mitzvah bifnei atzmo. Is it considered a mitzvah? The Rambam Shita is that getting married is a mitzvah. And presumably he's talking about even just the act of kedushin is a mitzvah. So our Gemara certainly seems to support that idea. Our Gemara over here is describing the Seuda Rishona, according to everyone, is in fact a Seudas mitzvah. And so, therefore, the Seudas mitzvah usually accompanies a mitzvah. So, certainly, if you wanted to build the case that our Gemara supports the Shita of the Rambam, certainly a case can be made from our Gemara over here. The Shita of the Rush, however, is that the the kiddushin, man being mekadesh a woman, is not a mitzvah per se, but it's a hechsher mitzvah. It prepares them for a mitzvah because obviously there is a mitzvah peruvu. Peruvu is to be done in the framework of marriage. So the marriage over there is a hechsher mitzvah for peruvu. Peruvu is a mitzvah, and the marriage is just simply a hechsher to get to that mitzvah. So under those circumstances, for the Rush, it's a little bit more difficult to understand our Gemara, and our Gemara is describing the Sudas Eristin as a Sudas Mitzvah. For the Rush, it's a little bit more of a challenge. I'm sure if we thought a little bit harder, we could defend the Rush. Anyway, we're going to continue in the Gemara. Tanya, we are in Mem Tes Amud Aleph, we're two lines after the lines are wide, and we are going to be continuing the discussion of marriage. The Gemara is going to go off a little bit off topic right now, but as long as we're on the topic of marriage, the Gemara right now is going to spend a little time discussing who you should marry, who you shouldn't marry. A really interesting Gemara is coming up. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Sudas She'en Lo Mitzvah Ein Tam HaChacham Rashai La'anos Mimenu. Any meal that is not considered a mitzvah, so a Tam HaChacham should not participate in such a meal. Kegon Mai, the Gemara says, I'll give you an example. I'm Rav Yochanan, Kegon Bas Kon LeYisrael. So let's say, for example, Bas Kon marries a Yisrael. Now, over here, at its face value, the Gemara is really strong, a little bit on the rough side, in the idea that if you're Yisrael and you're marrying a Bas Kohen, it's not the best. In fact, the Gemara describes it as a non-Sudas Mitzvah. The Gemara says the Talmud Chacham should not partake or participate in that event. Okay, so admittedly, that's a strong statement. Ubas Talmud Chacham le'am ha'aretz. Similarly, Bas Tam HaChacham marrying an Am Haaretz, that's something also which is not considered a mitzvah event. A Tam HaChacham should not participate in such event. The Amar Rav Yochanan Bas Kon LeYisrael in Zivugan Ole Yafe. Rav Yochanan says that when you have a Bas Kon marrying a Yisrael, so it's not a good shidduch. So Mahi, and the Gemara over here speaks in really strong terms, in terms of the ramifications of such a shidduch. Amar Rav Chista, O Amana, O Grusha, O Zera Ein La. It could lead to either her being a widow or her being a divorcee or them just simply not having children. In Masisa Tana, in the Brisa was taught, Kovra, either she'll be buried, O Kovra so, or he'll be buried, O Mivieli de Anios, or just simply it will lead to poverty. Ini, the Gemara says, this is true, Vahama Rav Yochanan Narosi Shizaser. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan says that anyone who wants to become wealthy, Yidabek Bizarro Shel Aaron. So she can cling to the descendants of Aaron, meaning over here, it is in fact something which is endorsed and promoted. So, Kol Shekein Shetar V'Kuna Ma'ashra San. And if we're talking about where not only are you going to be connected to a member of Kohanim, meaning you've married the daughter of a Kohen, on top of that also, if it's Talmud Chacham, so how much more so? So over here, clearly there is a push that you should try to look for a Bas Kohen to marry, even though you yourself are not a Kohen. So, lo kasha, but Talmud Chacham, haba amaretz. So the Gemara says it depends. So if you're a Talmud Chacham, so then you're encouraged to marry a Bas Kohen. If you're amaretz, then you're not encouraged to marry a Bas Kohen. Rav Yeshua Nasif Kahanta, Rav Yeshua married a Bas Kohen, chalosh, and he got sick. Amar lo nicha le la aron de adbeg bazare de havele chasna. Ki ana. He says, and I know what the problem is. The problem is that that Aaron up in Shemayim is not happy that I married into the family. So he took a really harsh look at himself and he felt that he wasn't appropriate for the family. Okay, Rav Idi Bar Avin Asif Kanta Nafkuminei Trei Bnei Smichi. Now on the other hand, Rav Idi Bar Avin married a Bas Kohen and he had sons who became Rabbanim. Rav Sheshes Bereid Rav Idi, Rav Yeshua Bereid Rav Idi. Fine. So he had children who were Rabbanim. Amra Papa I lo nisivna kahanta lo I asrei. If I had not married a Kohen, I would not have become wealthy. So in other words, he understood it to mean that it was a schuz for him. And Amra Avkani I lo nisivna kahanta lo galai. If I had not married a Kohen, I would not have been sent into exile. So he obviously viewed it as not a good thing. So they said to Rav Kahana, "V'halamakum Torah Galisa." What do you mean? You were sent into exile. You were sent to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Yeah," but his response is, "Lo gali kidigali inche." That's true, but I didn't go into galus in the manner that people normally are sent into galus. To give a little bit of background over here, so this takes us to the 10th paragraph of Baba Kama. The Gemara over there tells us a story on Kuf Yud Zayin where Rav Kahana had to kill a Moser. So there was a Moser that was living with Rav Kahana in Bavel, and Rav Kahana killed him. And as a result of that, so he himself was exiled to Eretz Yisrael. See the Gemara over there for some more details regarding the story. But anyway, but the point is that because he was involved in that event, he was justified, right? Rav over there in the Gemara told him that what he did was the correct thing, right? See the Gemara over there. It's not totally clear that Rav fully endorses his action, but it's a simple reading of the Gemara, and it seems like Rav endorsed it anyway. So he was sent into Galus, he was sent to Eretz Yisrael. And to which the Gemara says, okay, so that's a good thing, right? So, and his response is, in other words, I didn't decide on my own to go to Eretz Yisrael. My hand was forced. I was forced to go to Eretz Yisrael. And so as a result of that, he felt that it was a davar mishuna, it was something that was unusual. And it was also prompted by the fact that he ended up marrying a Bas Kohen. Anyone who gets benefit from a meal which is a non-mitzvah meal, so you yourself are going to be sent into exile. Shenemar, v'ochlim karim mitzon v'agalim mitoch marbeik uchsiv l'chena tayigolo v'rosh golim. But stringing together a couple psukim and amos, so the impression that you get is that when you're nana, when you get benefit from a meal that is a non-mitzvah meal, so then you're going to be sent into galus. Tana Rabbanan. We're continuing in the Gemara, Mentes Amud Aleph. About a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud, at the two dots, the Gemara now is going to continue its discussion of appropriateness of who you should marry and who you should not marry. Tana Rabbanan Kol Tama Chacham Amar Besudasa B'chol Makom Sof Machriv Es Beiso Me'almen Es Yisho U'miyasem Es Gozlav V'tamudo Mishtakech Mimeno Machlokes Rabos Baos Alav Udvarav Eino Nishmaim Umechal Shem Shemaim V'Shem Rabo V'Shem Aviv V'Gorim Shem Ralo Ulevanav Ulevnei Benav Atsof Kol Adoros. Gemara says that when you have a Talmid Chacham who has a lot of meals and he has meals all the time, so he's fasting and he's fasting often, so he's going to, now I'm not going to reread everything I just read, but I'll translate it in the same chronology that we just went through in the Gemara. He's going to destroy his house, widow his wife, cause his children to become orphans, forget his learning, be the source of strife and machlokas. His words are not going to be listened to. He's going to create a chil of Shem Shemayim, the name of his Rebbe, the name of his parents. And he's also going to be a Shem Rav for both himself, his children, and all of his future progeny as well. Okay, so really strong words that the Gemara has for somebody who eats without any discretion whatsoever. So Mahi, so Amar Abaye Karalei. Now the Gemara wants to know, so how is it going to be a bad name that's going to carry over for all future generations? So Amar Abaye Karalei, Machim Tenuris. So Abaye says, look, people are going to say about him that he heats up his oven all the time, meaning his oven is always hot and he's always cooking in his house. Rava Amar Bar Mirake Bekuve. Rava says that what people are going to say regarding him is that he dances in the bars in order to get drinks in the bar. So he dances in so that some of the people that are there, so they're going to give him a little bit to drink as payment for the entertainment that he provides. So that is another way in which his name is going to be besmirched. Rav Papa Amar Bar Malachich Penchei. Rav Papa describes him as somebody who licks the plate. Rav Shmai Amar Bar Mach Rava. He's going to fold over his clothing and sleep on his clothing, meaning that he's going to get so drunk and have nowhere to go, he's going to end up sleeping out in the park bench. Tana Rabbanan Lo'olamim Kor Adam Kol Ma Sheyesh Lo V'Yisa Bas Talmid Chacham. A person should sell everything that he has in order to marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. She Meisa Gola Muftach Lo Shebanav Talmidei Chachamim. Because even in the event that either he dies or he's sent into exile, so you know your children are going to be Talmidei Chachamim. Va'al Yisa Bas Hamaretz. However, do not marry the daughter of an Amaretz. She'im Meis Ogola. Because if you die, you're sent into Galus. Banav Amaretz. So your children are going to be Amaretz. Tanarban la'olamim kor adam kol ma sheyesh lo v'yisa bas tamid chacham v'yasi bito l'tamid chacham. In this brisa, same basic idea. Sell everything you have in order to make sure that you marry the daughter of a tamid chacham. Or for that matter, having your daughters marry a tamid chacham. Mashal in ve'egefen bein ve'egefen. Having your family marry into a family of tamid chachamim. So that is going to be grapevines that are going to be gathered together with other grapevines. Davar na'e umes kabel. It's going to be something which is acceptable. V'loyisa bas amaretz, however, to marry the daughter of an amaretz, mashal, lin ve'egefen be'in ve'asna. That's comparable to putting grapevines together with thorns. So davar ka'or ve'eno miskabel. Something disgusting which is not going to be accepted. Right? Obviously, this line of Gemara made it into a popular song for Chasna, but anyway, the Gemara talks about the value of looking for a Tamid Chacham when marrying. Tana Rabbanan, we are now on the very top of Mem Tesamad Beis, La'olam Yimkor Adam, Kol Ma Sheyesh Lo V'Yiso Bas Tamid Chacham. Person should sell everything that he has in order to marry the daughter of a Tamid Chacham. La'masa Bas Tamid Chacham Yisa Bas Gadol Ador. If that's not available, so then you should look for the Gadol Ador. It's clear in our Gemara over here, Gadol Ador is not used in the same way, in the same manner that we use it. Gadol Ador, we talk about the greatest of our generation. But here in our Gemara, Gadol Ador is below Tamid Chacham. You can see Rashi over here. Rashi describes it as Anshei Maisa V'Tzadikim. Okay, it means that somebody who is really special and takes unbelievable care in the way he performs mitzvahs. Okay, not as big a Tamid Chacham. Anyway, that's the Gadol Ador described over here. So Yisa Bas Gadol Ador. Lamasa Bas Gadol Ador. Yisa Bas Roshe Kinesios. Okay, then look for somebody who's in charge of the shul. He's got a lot of zechuyas. Lamasa Bas Roshe Kinesios. Yisa Bas Gabit Staka. Then look for somebody who's a Gabit Staka. Somebody, a collector of Staka, and somebody who is responsible for the collection and allocation of the Staka. Obviously, such an individual is a very trustworthy individual. Lamasa Bas Gabit Staka. Yisa Bas Malamdi Tinoka. So then, and afterwards, if you can't find that, find somebody who teaches in the schools. V'loyisa bas ame aretz. However, all that before marrying the daughter of an ame aretz. Mimei sheim shekets and a shoseim sheretz. So the Gemara over here speaks in really strong terms against the ame aretz. The Gemara describes him as being shekets, the wives as being shratzim. V'al b'naseim o'amer arush o'chev im kol behema. And the daughter, so that is one of the klalos, which is cursed is somebody who sleeps with a behema. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Am Aretz Asol L'Chol Basar. And Am Aretz himself is not allowed to eat meat. Shenemar Zos Torah Sebehema Va'ov. Kol Osek B'Torah, anyone who's involved in the study of Torah, Mutal L'Chol Basar Behema Va'ov is allowed to eat meat. V'chol She'ena Osek B'Torah, Asol L'Chol Basar Behema Va'ov is not allowed to eat meat. Okay, so the Gemara over here speaks in really strong terms against the Am Aretz. Okay, I think it is fair to say at this point in time that this particular Gemara that we're doing, that describing the Am Aretz, may not just simply be the standard understanding of an Am Aretz standard, typically speaking. When we talk about an Am Aretz, we just simply talk about his lack of commitment in terms of keeping the details of the halacha. Right? Generally speaking, we talk about an Am Aretz, so he's not being mafresh shumas amaisros. As we're going to be seeing in our discussion over here, so the Gemara is going to really talk in strong terms against the Am Aretz, to the point where, we'll see it together in just a moment. To the point where, under certain circumstances, you put the Am Aretz to death. So if we're talking about a standard Am Aretz who's not being mafresh shumas amaisros, it's really hard to take the standard Am Aretz and to plug him into our Gemara over here. It seems totally inappropriate. So my best guess would be that the Am Aretz that's being discussed in our Gemara over here is a group of people that are extraordinarily subversive, right? Probably people that are a threat to our existence, either spiritually or physically, and that has to be the kind of Am Aretz that's being dealt with in our Gemara over here. And as we go through the Gemara over here, it's going to pretty much bear out. Amar Rebbe Elazar, we are about a third of the way down, or a quarter of the way down from the top of the Amar, the two dots. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Am Aretz Motel and Achrobi Yom Kippur Mshichalios B'Shabbos. Let's say Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide with one another. So you have a real Kedusha Sayom, and yet you have an Ama Aretz that's there and is posing a threat, so you could kill him. So, and the word that's used to kill him is Nechira. Now, if you remember the Gemara in Chulin describes Nechira as a way of killing the animal without doing a Shechita. And the Gemara wants to know over here, why using the language of Nechira? Amar lo Talmid of Rebbe, Amar lo Shochto. So why don't you say that you shecht him? Amar lehem, zeh tom bracha, v'zein tom bracha. Now, if you shecht him, you have to make a bracha, and if you don't shecht him, so then, but Nechira, you don't make a bracha, and who wants to make a bracha over here? Now, the answer over here is not to be understood literally, obviously, right? Regardless of what you do in order to get rid of the Amar, it's whether you do Shechita, you do Nechira, you're not going to be making a bracha in either of those circumstances. It's just the idea of the Gemara over here is that to use the language of Shechita would remind us of the act of Shechita, which requires a bracha, and basically these Amei Haaretz are people that are so vile that I don't even want to use the word Shechita, which has a bracha association connected to it. I don't even want to use it with the word Shechita. We'll use the word Nechira. Amei Rebbe Elazar, Amei Haaretz asor lehit la'avosim o b'derech. Don't accompany an Amaretz on the way. Shenemar the pasuk says, "Ki hu chayech v'rachemecha, achayev lo chas, achayech chaver lo kol shekein." He's not worried about his own life. He's certainly not going to be worried about your life. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Aretz motel lekara kedag. You can tear him open like a fish. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak umigabo, and even from the back. Meaning, even if he's unexpecting it, and you're coming in from the back. But nevertheless, if you have to get rid of the Amaretz in such a manner, so it is, it's totally fine to do so. Again, I just want to reiterate, it's very clear from our Gemara's over here, in terms of the way that we're dealing with the Amaretz, that we're not talking about a standard Amaretz, we're talking about an Amaretz who is threatening us, probably physically, certainly spiritually, and so therefore under those circumstances, we're looking at some sort of roadish situation. I'm well aware of the fact that the Gemara over here is not making that point very clear, but you have to say something along those lines. Otherwise, there is no justification to just simply kill him in the manners that we're describing on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, from the back. Okay. Tanya Am Rebbe Akiva. Here we are. Right. You've heard this Gemara before. We've all heard this Gemara before. And here it is in Pesachim Daf Mem Testament Base. Tanya Am Rebbe Akiva Kishaisi Am Aretz. When I was on Am Aretz, Am Aretz, Dimi Yitain Litamachacham. And I'll bind him like a donkey. Amr lo tamid Rebbe. Amor kekelev. The students just wanted to know, listen, we understand that you're a changed man now, and you're Rebbe Akiva now, but can you at least explain that at the time when you wanted to bite the Talmid Chacham, when you yourself were an Am Haaretz, you said, like a donkey, why not say like a dog? So Amr lehem zenoshech v'shover atzim v'zenoshech v'enoshover atzim. He says, look, a dog bites, but doesn't break any bone. The donkey bites, so he breaks bone. So I hated Talmid Chacham so much, I was ready to bite like a donkey. Tanya Hayah Rebbe Meir Omer, Kol Amesi Bitol Amaretz Kilu Kofta Menichel Lefnei Ari. Rebbe Meir says that if you allow your daughter to marry an Amaretz, it's like tying her up in front of a lion. Ma Ari Dores V'Ochel Ve'Ein Lo Boshos Upon Him Af Amaretz Makel Uboel Ve'Ein Lo Boshos Upon Him. So just like the lion, so attacks and has no shame whatsoever. So the Am Haaretz, so he's going to be abusive, physically abusive. You could see Rashi, you could see Tosfos over here in terms of exactly what the references are in terms of the kind of abuse he's going to be. But basically, he's going to be abusive to your daughter. Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer Omale Anu Tzrichim Lahem. Lamasumatan hayu horgin osanu. Rebbe Elazar makes another comment regarding this group of Amei Haaretz, and that is that they need us. They need us financially, and that's the only reason why they don't kill us right now. But if they didn't need us financially, they'd kill us. So Tana Rebbe Chia kol haosek b'Torah lefnei Amei Haaretz. If you're involved in learning Torah in front of the Amei Haaretz, kiilu boal arusa so b'fanav. It's like you're having relations with his arusa right in front of him, meaning he will be offended. Shenemar the pasuk says Torah Tzivalana Moshe Marasha Al Tikra Moshe Ela Marasa Gedola Sina Shesonim Amei Haaretz Talmid Chacham. The kind of hatred that the Am Haaretz has towards the Talmid Chacham is greater. Yosem Sina Shesonim Ovdei Kochavim Es Yisrael more than the non Jew hates Yisrael. So in other words, they have such a disdain for Talmid Chacham that you learn Torah in front of them, and all you're going to do is just basically incite them to be violent. And as much as they hate Talmidei Chachamim, the wives of the Amei Haaretz also hate Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara describes it over here even more. Tana, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Shana upiresh yoser mikulan. And what's even more difficult for the Jewish people for a Talmid Chacham is somebody who learned previously, and then he was parish, and then he left. He for whatever reason, he walked off the reservation. Even as an accomplished Talmid Chacham, he walked away. So he's now going to have the kind of hatred, yoser mikulan. He's going to hate Talmidei Chachamim more than everyone else mentioned, presumably more than even the Am Haaretz. Tana Rabbanan Shisha Dvarim Nemru Ba'Am Haaretz, six things that were said regarding an Am Haaretz. One, Ein Mosin Lehem Eidus. So we're not going to give them any responsibility of Eidus. Meaning, let's say we need an aid, and so we're looking for a volunteer, so not the Am Haaretz. And number two, Ein Mekamlem Mimenu Eidus. Let's say they already have testimony, so we don't accept it from them. We are afraid that they are not going to be forthright and honest, so therefore we don't accept it. Ein Megalan Lehem Sod, don't tell them a secret. Ein Memanim Oso Apotropos. Ali Yisomim, don't make them a trustee over the estate of orphans. Ein Memanim Oso Apotropos Al Kupa Shel Tzedaka, do not make them trustees over the Tzedaka. Ve'ein Mitlavanim Mehem Aderech, and don't walk with them along on the way. So these are all the kinds of behaviors that you should not be involved with as it relates to an Am Haaretz, and it has to do with the fact that we just simply do not have the ability to trust him. Now, let's say you find a lost item of an Am Haaretz. So under those circumstances, you should not announce it, meaning you should not make any efforts to try to return it to its owner. Now, that's the opinion of the Yeshar Mim Tosfos over here discusses how do we know that the item belonged to the Am Haaretz, meaning it's a lost item. If you know it belongs to the Am Haaretz, don't you now know who it is? Okay, so we're going to have to say that you knew it belonged to Am Haaretz, but you didn't know who it is. Tosfos comes up with ukimtos of how we got there. Anyway, but the point is, this is only the opinion of the Yesharman, which means that according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, you do announce the lost items of an Am Haaretz. Why should that be? The Tanakhama, so Zimran the Nafak Minei Zarim Alya V'Achalei, because even though he currently right now is an Am Haaretz, but it's possible that his children are going to become Bnei Torah and a Talmid Chacham. Shenema, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Iyov, Yachin v'tzadik yelbash, that you'll prepare, and meanwhile, a future tzadik, a tzadik down the road, is going to literally wear the item, he's going to enjoy, he's going to benefit from the item. So the fact that you're going to be able to help somebody financially secure himself, and in other words, help him find his lost item, and help him financially recover, despite the fact that he himself is an Am Haaretz, and he himself may not be worthy, but nevertheless, you don't know what the future lies, and it could very well be that he's going to have a child who is going to be a Talmid Chacham, and he will benefit from the lost item. Ad kan, we're going to stop over here, and tomorrow we pick it up at the two dots. Quickly reviewing our Gemara today, we start on the top of Mem Tesamad Aleph. Our first topic of discussion, Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos. What do you do in terms of the mitzvah of Bir Chametz? So there are three opinions cited in the Mishnah, and the Gemara only gives us a support for the last opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok, and it is not clear of those positions which one is the Gemara himself does not cite which one should be the accepted position. This is going to be Halach L'Maisa coming up this year. This year our Erev Pesach is in fact going to fall out on a Shabbos. So the Mishnah Mem Tes at least gives us a starting point of the discussion. But obviously, Shulchan Aruch, right? You need to go further in terms of understanding what the halacha is going to be. Our next big discussion is that let's say it's Erev Pesach, and right now you're en route to doing a mitzvah, and at the same time, however, you didn't do the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. So what do you do? So you're being pulled in two different directions. So what do you do under those circumstances? So the Mishnah says that basically, if you have time to go back and do the mitzvah of Bir Chametz, and then go back and do the mitzvah, and you're not going to lose the mitzvah, that's great. Otherwise, you could be mevata belev. You can nullify the chametz in your heart, and you will then you'll do the mitzvah that's pulling you. If the mitzvah that's pulling you involves atzalas nefashos, so it's saving somebody's life, then the Mishnah says under those circumstances, don't even think twice you continue to do the mitzvah of atzalas nefashos, and as far as the chametz is concerned, mevata b'libo. If, on the other hand, you're only being involved in a reshus, something which is optional, so under those circumstances, so then you must go back and you must get rid of your chametz, and bittul b'lev is simply going to be insufficient. How much chametz are we talking about? Machlokas, which we're going to explore in the beginning of tomorrow's daf. The Gemara also points out, the Mishnah also points out, that the same halacha, the same concept would be true if, let's say, you left the Beis HaMikdash with Basar Kodesh in hand. You left the Beis HaMikdash, you had Basar Kodesh, you shouldn't have walked out with it, but you walked out of it with the Basar Kodesh in hand, so you would now have to destroy the Basar Kodesh. Under those circumstances, do you need to go back to the area of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah says, it depends how far out you went, and also depends how much you have of the Basar Kodesh. And again, all this is going to be discussed in more detail. Sudas Erusin, is that a mitzvah? Is that not a mitzvah? Our Mishnah says it absolutely is a mitzvah. The Gemara quotes a brisa that says it's not a mitzvah, and the Gemara has a number of ways how to resolve it. The Rav Chista's resolution is that for the first meal, everyone agrees that the Sudas Erusin is a mitzvah. For the Sudas Shnia, so that is, according to one opinion, not a mitzvah. And therefore, that's what the Brisa is describing when the Brisa says that a Sudas Erusin is not a mitzvah. The Gemara spends the rest of today's daf going over who you should marry, who you should not marry, and if the shidduch is not a good shidduch, if the zivug is not a good zivug, so the Gemara says it is not promising for the future. The Gemara speaks in details in terms of which zivugim are not good zivugim, both in terms of Yisrael marrying a Bas Kohen, in terms of an Am Haaretz marrying a Bas Kohen, and for that matter, just general associations with an Am Haaretz, which the Gemara speaks in very strong terms. And as I pointed out a couple of times over the course of today's daf, it certainly sounds like the Am Haaretz that's being discussed in today's daf is not just the standard Am Haaretz that we generally discuss throughout Shas, but rather it is somebody who is posing a real threat to the Jewish people. And therefore, under certain circumstances, like the Gemara discussed today, so you get rid of the Am Haaretz as necessary. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud.